In a weird way, that's a pretty good place to start as we say hi to Maurice Misielowski live from his evil lair in St Kilda, Melbourne. How are you?
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Talk to you again from my evil lair.
Yeah, it is. It is. We'll do a video one of these days again because it's always fun when we do that. And they can see. Yeah, he's got like a Siamese cat sitting on his lap and he's shaved his head and all that.
With my finger in my mouth and my little pinky, yeah.
It's Inventor's Day in America today, which is a really loose thing to get into you with because we're going to talk about flying cars. I am curious, what's the takeaway, what's the gut reaction to DeepSeek in Aussie? I know what I've seen in the news as well.
Yeah. So it's fascinating to me, to most people, I think, but to me especially, because this thing came from nowhere, as did ChatGPT, this thing being DeepSeek, which is a new version of, well, we won't call it ChatGPT, but a new version of AI that's readily available to everybody, downloadable.
Yeah, that's the key, isn't it? Cheap. It's cheaper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ask it a whole lot of questions, you know, the same as you would have before with the ChatGPT version of it, or Google's Gemini, whatever else. We shouldn't just pick on one.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots and lots of versions of it before. This is the newest kid on the block, and it's taken off gangbusters. It's literally gone from zero to hero overnight.
All right. Are we mainly talking about the price here, which is quite incredible? Are we talking about functionality?
We're talking about all kinds of things. Price is certainly the number one, you know, the thing that's talked about a lot. It's free. You know, free fits into most people's budgets quite easily.
It does, doesn't it?
And it's not only is it free, because you kind of think with free, you know, what's the catch? Where is it bad? What can I do? What can't it do? But it seems to do a whole lot of stuff that most people want it to do.
That's exactly it, yeah.
You're not really losing a lot from ChatGPT, if anything at all. If that's what you're comfortable with, or Gemini, or whatever else you've been using, and you're used to writing, you know, loose paragraphs about, tell me about this, write this for me, do this, figure out what the world looks like, whatever. Mm-hmm. You can basically use exactly the same syntax. In fact, you can use the same approach to get this thing to work. It's quite, quite interesting. It works out of the box, doesn't require much else to do it. And again, let's repeat the most important part. It's free.
Well, let's assume, I mean, let's not assume. We know not everybody wants to ask it so-called sensitive questions, which it will not answer. I mean, kids want to do their homework about Lord of the Flies and things like that. Let's go down that avenue. What do you think about its functionality there?
Well, its functionality is not bad. I mean, it really, you have to remember that what this thing does, it doesn't matter which version, whether we're talking DeepSeek or any of the other competitors to it, it can only bring back information that it's gone out and found, because this thing doesn't learn, not in the way that traditional humans do. It's literally just gone down a well, and it's soaking up all the information in that well, all the water that's available in that well, and bringing it back to the top.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever you dig that well, whatever you tell it to look for, or to know, or to find, and to keep, and to bring back to the top, is exactly what you're going to get out of it. So DeepSeek's well is different from other ones, and that's not sinister or untoward, because mm-hmm. every single one of them is proprietary. They're all written by a company or somebody or something, and they have their own way of looking at the world, or teaching this thing to go about looking for information and bringing it back.
Mm-hmm.
It's also fundamentally different too in the way that it does that, because most of the other versions up until now have been large language models, which means they've gone out and they've found lots and lots of information, and they've repeated that over and over and over again and kept learning that way. And that's really what's been happening for most of us. In other words, it goes out, reads the encyclopedia, says, that's great, I know something, finds another bit of information, mm-hmm. chucks it on top, and keeps learning and learning and learning, and overlearning in that sense. With DeepSeek, it doesn't do that at all. It actually uses partly that, but then uses a completely different set of algorithms to figure out what it should know and what it should keep and how it should send the information back.
So it's not just the money then. That's interesting.
It's not just the money. It's different in the way that it seeks information and that it brings information back, but again goes out to this wide pool. Also, it's much cheaper, not just for you and I as an end user being free, but it's also much easier and cheaper for it to go and find the information and bring it back. Because ChatGPT behind the scenes was really, really expensive in the way that it went about to find information and give it back to you. It seems like it was doing nothing. It seems like it was literally just free and, you know, Googling along, although that's not what it was doing, and really easy and quick and cheap. But it wasn't. It actually cost a hell of a lot to find the information and give it back to you.
Isn't this a bit like, you know, when the internet first kicked off and modem pricing and everything, and you'd pay incredible amounts of money and the years went by and now you get your free plans or your unlimited plans? Isn't that the way of the world with technology?
Well, it kind of is. And what DeepSeek does is it uses what's called reinforcement learning.
Okay.
If somebody's asked me something over and over again, the same question, I keep giving back the response and everybody's applauding, says it's wonderful and terrific. It's not that, but I'm really just, you know, trying to bring it down. But everybody says, look, this information's great. Everybody loves it. I'm going to say that information's right. I'm going to keep going with it. I'm not going to bother with anything else. So it's reinforcement learning in a very different sense. Mm-hmm. What it does, it costs, I mean, these are broad figures, but if you use something like OpenAI,
okay,
then it's roughly the pricing. This is where everybody's eyes glazed over. I'm going to do it quickly so I don't bore anybody more than ever. But it's called tokens. A token is a little bit of information that it has to go and find to bring back, and then it stitches all the tokens together to give us the answer. Each one of those tokens costs roughly, when you're putting information in, about $15 to go and get and $60 to put it back out to people.
Mm.
That's normal OpenAI average figure. A lot of money. Tokens, you know, there can be hundreds of thousands of tokens, tens of thousands of tokens to give you information that you want in or out. DeepSeek does the same for 55 cents input as against $15.
Okay.
And it only costs $2.19 output as against $60. Forget everything else I said. Just think about those numbers.
Yeah.
It's cheaper on every sense. It doesn't require big computers, because one of the things that we thought was going to happen and still will be, we need huge, huge computing power, quantum computers, if we're going to keep down the road of AI, just to keep up with what we want it to know and for it to give us information back. Mm. It seems that may not be the case anymore.
It's quite interesting, isn't it, when you take politics and everything completely off the table and you just get the techie boys together. Yesterday it made me laugh because the CEO of Google, DeepMind, basically went, yeah, mate, good on you.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing. I mean, you can literally see, I think all of them must have got whiplash a couple of weeks ago when this thing came out.
Indeed.
Because you can just see their necks moving so quickly. How'd they do that? Because it was felt that it was almost impossible. This reminds me very much of the old days of Netscape.
Mm.
Netscape was one of those really early search engines that most people used. AOL, Friendster, which preceded. All of those, you know. And we can throw brands out, some know, some don't, but immaterial. But what I'm getting at is, in their day, they were it. They were the bee's knees. There was nothing better. Nothing was ever going to be better. God had arrived, and that was it, and it was it and forever. And that's really what we're seeing, which is my take on this and what I've said to audiences and clients in the last couple of weeks. What did you think was going to happen? That was it? That was all that was ever going to be? Of course, based on the hard work that had been done by the companies that came before, all the money they'd spent, the engineering they'd spent, the thinking they'd spent, of course some little upstart was going to come and say, well, thanks for that. I'm going to use that, and I'm going to jump ahead a whole lot of jumps, and I'm going to do it really cheaply and quickly because I've learned a lot from you and other people, and here's what I want to do. And that's what we've seen, and that's what we saw really with all technology. They come on the back of really great work that's done by somebody else who spent a squillion bringing it to market.
Yeah, it's a Tesla story, the actual person Tesla story, isn't it? I want to leave this in just a second, Maurice, but basically, what do you think is going to happen with this in Australia? It is blocked.
Oh, look, everyone being the government's gone berserk. They're blocking it. They have said that all their little minion people, whoever they are, working for them, if you're getting government dollar, you can't use it, because they're worried about the source and where the information I talked about, the well before, you know, where it gets information from, where it stores it. They're worried about where that well is kept and who's going to have access to information. I don't see the difference between that and any of the other forms of this OpenAI, because they all somewhere, somehow, keep information about somebody.
Mm.
I use a little trick, which is really not that much of a trick, but hardly anyone uses it, I found out.
Okay.
You can actually go into ChatGPT and DeepSeek and others, and there's a box which says, don't share my information with anybody else. Shh, keep it a secret.
That's legit, is it, Maurice? I mean,
it's legit. Yeah. So on my ChatGPT, ever since I've used it from day one, it says, do not use this in your models. This is proprietary to me. I ticked that box 2 years ago or whatever, and every time it gives me an answer, it says at the bottom, I don't know if it's true, Phil, but it makes me happy seeing the answer at the bottom, which says, this is a secret between you and me. I haven't told anyone else.
Fair play. Let's go to morrisfuturist.com and talk about flying cars. What do you got?
Oh, how can you not? How can you not? It was time to do another flying car story. We haven't done one for a while, and I hadn't written one for a while. And what spurred me on this was that thing that, you know, I get so excited about in January called CES, the Consumer Electronics Show.
Morris, I must say you didn't seem – I mean, I know you're away on your holidays, but I didn't get the sort of glows of excitement from you.
No, I know. It's taken a while. I told you it would. Flying cars is one of the things that came out of it. And it has for the last 8 years or so, that's CES, had a specialist car section at it. Before there were a number of cars, but they've really gone overboard now.
Yeah.
A lot of the car manufacturers literally have enormous stands because if you think about it, these things are just computers on wheels now. So all the nerds and the geeks, you know, there's a real big thing about cars and loving them. And I saw boats last time, well, not this time, when I was there a year ago, there were boats there and all kinds of different things. But anyway, this year's had a whole lot of new potential flying cars and they're getting closer because what we're seeing now is that many of the large companies, so you've got Beamer, you've got Toyota, you've got Boeing, you've got Suzuki, you've got Hyundai, Honda, Porsche and lots of others, the brands that we know are all looking at this and saying, well, why not? Why can't there be cars in the sky? And if there are, we know it's not tomorrow, this is not about, you know, what's going to be on the dealership in the next 12 months, 24 months. But maybe it's time right now to start looking at this thing with a bit more serious...
But what actual use would they be to drivers, Morris? I mean, it's all great fun. And you mentioned the word Jetsons at least twice in your article.
Oh, I do, because everybody else... This is the question I get asked nearly every day, Phil. I mean, if I could win the tats by just knowing that this would be the question that would be asked of me, then you and I would be on a Greek island at the moment. So what's the actual use? I'm not sure. I think that there are some. I think public transport has a use for it. If we think about it in modern terms, these things are really no more than big drones. They're just drones that people consider
a various version. Yeah, we're not going to go down the anti-gravity route just yet, are we?
No, but they are drones. I mean, I know they're much bigger than that, better than that, different than that, but I'm saying that because we have accepted drones. I still think drones are mosquitoes, and I do not know why we want them delivering our KFC, McDonald's, or anything else in the sky, why we do want millions of them flying around.
Because it's fun, I suppose.
Yeah, it is, but lots of places, lots of people, including Canberra and other states, have legislated that's acceptable, and many companies are beginning to deliver by drone. So we know already that that battle's kind of not been lost, but people are moving into logistics using drones.
Let's stay there for a second, Morris, because it sounds really useful. I mean, what are the pros and cons of delivering pizza by drone?
It's quick. It's point A to point B.
Yeah.
And it avoids traffic at this stage, but creates new traffic somewhere else. So the point A to point B is really a good point. It is used drones I'm talking about, not often, but there are some hospitals that are receiving emergency requirements like blood and other things by drone because it's A to B, it's relatively easy and quick. Of course, it isn't in infrastructure, but once you've got that set up, it's not that difficult anymore. So that's being used. I have seen that there is a drone. It's been around for, that I know of, about 7 years, that is taken onto a battlefield, flown onto a battlefield. There are no people in it, so the soldier, unfortunately, if she or he has had some calamity happen to them, has to be able to get into it. I know it's not a perfect world, but that's what this is based on.
Yeah.
So as long as they can wriggle into it, this thing will actually fly them out without having to put more people in harm's way. So that's an interesting use of an ambulance-type approach.
Here's one for you, Morris. You talk about jobs of the future. Would civilian, like, specialised applied drone pilots, are we going to see more?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we're already seeing lots of them. They are specialised in the army because many of the battles are now flown in air-conditioned rooms somewhere a long, long way away. In Las Vegas, Nevada, I should say, the American Air Fleet has an enormous base there of literally, I mean, they're not nerds and geeks, they're wonderful people, let's say nerds and geeks, who fly these drones and other things with joysticks and all the rest of them as if they're in the battlefield. But, of course, they don't and they aren't. So we're starting to see, I kind of went down that road because there is a very solid foundation for where these flying cars, which were once just science fiction and once just Jetsony, where they're actually starting to be used, where the technology exists and where there seems to be business case models for them. And each of these companies in my blog, and I've put 10 of them in, and more interestingly, I've put pictures next to each one because I love the pictures of what each one might look like. Each one of them really is a different thing. They're not at all trying to be the Jetsons car in the driveway. Some are just for commercial purposes. Some are for logistics purposes. Some are for individuals. And some of them have gone about in really strange, interesting ways. Can I tell you about one or two?
Go on, bring it on.
So there's one called XPeng, letter X-P-E-N-G, X2. What XPeng does, now, for our listeners, you may have seen somewhere down the track, Tesla brought out this beautiful, horrible truck that it was going to put out to kind of look like a tank.
Yeah.
So think that, because it's not that, but it looks like that. And out of the back of this thing rolls out a box. So it's this big tank that you drive around in, normal car, drive, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You get wherever you want to go, you open up the boot, and out of this comes this big box. And then all of a sudden, out of this big box is Transformer-type work, where the wings come out and all sorts of things come out, and then you fly off on this electric vehicle, electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicle.
Yeah.
And then you come back to your car, push it into the boot, and keep driving. That's the XPeng.
Okay.
You've got Beamer that wants really luxury cars it's doing, has some really interesting versions of what its prototype cabin is going to look like. You've got Toyota that's working with Joby Aviation that thinks it can put up together air taxis. That's what they're interested in, not cars necessarily for you and I, but for air taxis, which, again, Uber says we will have in the air within a year or two. You've got Boeing working with Porsche, who is putting together all sorts of really interesting, because it's Porsche, and this thing looks like a stealth bomber. It's quite incredible. Not for you and I, but for autonomous systems, mostly for logistics. So each one of them is quite different, and in the way they look is quite different, but interesting now how much money, how much thought is going into it, and how possible these things might be. Again, it's humans that are going to cause the problem because we can't fly them yet. No regulation, no insurance, shouldn't be in the air for 15, 20 years or more.
Yeah.
But we might get there, and what that looks like, I don't know, Phil. We've got to figure
it
out.
Tell what makes it a bit more believable. So when we talk about flying cars, you're immediately thinking of and noises like you hear in the Jetsons. But actually, if you think to yourself, these are essentially rotorcraft, that makes it more believable.
Yeah, and when you put the drones behind it and look at how practical they are and how we can go out and not buy one that does any of these things, but a little one for us for a couple of $100, the technology is there. We just have to get all the infrastructure, the need, all the politics, insurance, all that really has to come into play, which is the same as autonomous vehicles, cars. That's why we don't have them, exactly the same reason.
Right. Quickie to wrap up with.
All the other stuff.
Are they meant to function just as well on the roads as they do in the air?
Some are, some aren't. It just depends on the model.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, that XPeng one we talked about, yes, and there are a couple of others that do, yes, and many of them are just flying vehicles.
Brilliant, Morris. Big article here, morrisfuturist.com, and go to the blog bit. You can read all about it. We'll catch up and do some more next time, Morris. Thanks a lot for
catch
that.
Catch you in a week.
Bye-bye. That's Morris Misalowski, of course, from Melbourne. Let us check out the weather. Sunny this afternoon. Cloudy, one or two late. Light rain patches tonight. It's going to be humid with a few rain patches tomorrow. I can't say rain. It's because